And then we started a series just this last weekend called Don't Skip the Big Rocks. And what we did is we made this little illustration. And if you missed the conversation, catch up online for sure. But here's what we kind of did. We built this the wrong way. We put all the little stuff in first, the sand and the little rocks and the medium-sized rocks. And then when it came to the big rocks, right, the big priorities of life, the stuff that really, 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 really matters, we actually had no room for them, right? And as we said, what we really want to do is we emptied that all out, and we said, we got to put the big rocks in first, right? And this illustration is not original with me, but man, it sure has helped me. And we said, we've got to put down at the foundational level the stuff that really, really, really matters. And when we do that, when we put the right things in first and kind of in the base or the foundation, the bedrock of our lives, all the rest of it kind of finds its rightful place in our lives. And what we said is, we want to do that. How do we do it? How do we begin to unpack it and see it in rightfully? And we said, we're going to dive into this in the course of this series. If you missed the first conversation, as I mentioned, you probably want to go catch up on that. You can do the YouTube channel or any place you would listen to a podcast, you can find it there. What we want to do in the course of this series is have a bunch of conversations around this one. How do we actually do that, especially as we go into the fall and a bunch of us are getting back into the groove? How can we kind of build our lives with some wisdom and do this right, right? And so I would encourage you, take all of this series in, right? If you're going to be out of town or miss one, make sure to catch up online or just try to be here if you're around. But you want to take all of those in because we're going to hit it from some different angles. What we want to do today, though, is we want to really zoom in and look at, when we're talking about the big rocks, what are we talking about? We're talking about the big rocks, what are we talking about? Because I know I've had conversations with a bunch of you as you're talking about rocks already, trying to think about, how does this work? What does this mean? What does it look like? And how do I kind of get this thing to work in my life? And so we want to zoom in on that and begin to break it down a little bit. And what we want to think of, we said this last week, is, you know, we want to think of this whole container as my life, right? This whole container is my life. So I'm going to put stuff in it. I get the freedom under, as God created me in his image, to make decisions on what goes in this thing. And so we want to recreate this kind of here on the whiteboard. And we want to ask the questions, what does it look like to put these kind of these big rocks in down at this base or this foundation level? And we want to see, of course, as well, kind of what are these medium rocks, and at least take a first look at what some of those could look like, right? And here's what we launched with last weekend. We said, we looked at this verse first. We said Jesus would say this after a big conversation around what to focus on. Should I focus on having my basic needs met and chasing that? Jesus would say, in essence, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus is going to say, hey, when it comes down to it, there are things that you want to put your attention and your focus on. There are things that matter a whole lot more. And Jesus is going to say that the kingdom, God's kingdom and his righteousness, is where we want to kind of fixate our attention, and we want to put our eyes there, right? First and most is to prioritize the kingdom first. Now, I want to make sure, as we start to understand and unpack, what do these rocks really look like, and how can we assign them a little bit, I want to make sure we understand that Jesus is not just one of the rocks. Our relationship with him is going to affect all of our life, right? It's not just one part that he's going to affect. He's not just a compartment that I'm going to have in my life. My pursuit of him can show up in one compartment, but my relationship with him is going to show up in all of it. Right, it's going to show up in all of it. Even the little details of life, I can be exercising faith in Christ in and through all of it. And we're going to try to help us all understand how that works and kind of what that looks like. Right, but I want to make sure we understand this. Our everyday decisions can be transformed into acts of worship. If I'm understanding faith right, if I'm kind of doing it the way the Bible talks about following Jesus, then the whole of my life turns into a bunch of acts of worship that can happen all the time in very, like, real, everyday, kind of practical ways. But in order to do that, I've got to get the big rocks in, right? In order to do that, I've got to get the big rocks in, and I want to make sure to understand that. So how and where does worship show up and what does it look like? This whole thing right here, my whole life, I want to look like a version of worship, right? Even the little stuff that shows up kind of all over the place, can I worship God through that? I certainly hope so, right? Because God, the way that the Bible is going to talk about following Jesus is it's an all of life thing. It's an all of life thing. It's not just something that happens on Sunday at church. It's not just something that even just happens in the moments where I'm intentional about following Jesus. Worship happens here, right? In all of it, in all of it. And we're going to see that. Now, in order to get a hold of the big rocks, what I want to do is I want to look at some of the kind of foundational stuff that Jesus would say when he's pointing us to what we want to make sure to not lose track of. And in a conversation that Jesus was having with some people, he says this, teacher, he was asked, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, right? Love God. Put yourself into the pursuit of loving and choosing God. This is the first and greatest commandment. He says, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Just like you would love yourself and take care of yourself, love your neighbor like that. That's the idea. It says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, on these two commandments. So what I want to do is I want to put down here at the bedrock level, even though my relationship with Jesus is going to show up all over the place and all that I do, I want to see this as my pursuit of Christ, right? Even though I have a relationship that's going to show up beyond that pursuit, in all that I do, in the ways that I serve him and love him and thank him, when it comes to anchoring in, learning his truth, staying close to his word, seeking him in prayer, that pursuit of Christ is going to be at the foundation level. I want to seek first his kingdom. I want to love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Getting that into the bedrock at the base level is going to absolutely be the foundation of all that we do. And out of that foundation, what's going to happen is this. That's going to begin to pour out into some other major rocks in my life. And Jesus is going to say this, right? That the next big area I might go to is what we would call our first neighbors. Right? There's billions of people on the planet. How can we love them all? I'm not sure that's what we're called to, but we definitely are called to love the people right around us. Right? If you are, if you live with a group of people, if you're a roommate, if you're a spouse, if you're a child living with parents or parents with kids, however it looks, there are first neighbors that are going to show up right around us in our everyday life. The people we're going to spend a bunch of time with. And they're going to be the first recipients. If I have a relationship with Jesus, they're going to be the first recipients of the overflow of that relationship with Christ. There's always going to be the people, and who those people are could change based on what's going on in my life, but those people are going to show up there for sure. Right? And then here's going to be the next one is this. We're going to look at out of my relationship with Christ, what's going to happen is there's going to be purposeful work that's going to come out of that. Now, sometimes that purposeful work is going to be a job. This one is not your job. This is the priority that I am on the planet to make an impact, to give myself, to contribute in some real way. Sometimes that means having a job. Sometimes that is going to roll right through this purpose and go all the way here to this job. Sometimes it's not. There are guys here at Grace that are retired, and they, you know what they do? They show up in the building. I get here, they're here before me, and they're working on something in the building. I don't even know what they're doing, but they're working on something. It's awesome. Right? And they would look and say, man, part of my purpose, not the whole thing, but part of my purpose is going to be serving God's kingdom by helping maintain this building. Some people are going to do purposeful work of taking care of aging parents at home and figure out some stay-at-home moms, their purpose is going to be taking care of their first neighbors as those little people kind of get a hold of life and become little humans that are growing more and more. purposeful work is just part of our design. Did you know that there was work before there was sin in the world? Right? Did you know there was work before there was sin in the world? Before the fall, God looked at Adam and Eve and said, "Go, here's this garden. I want you to grow it. I want you to work it." It was sin that made work hard and frustrating. But what's built in to us is this desire to make a difference, a desire to make an impact. When you dream about what you could do with yourself, all of us get tired and just wish we could go live on a beach somewhere, okay? So we'll get that out of the way. But when you at the deeper level, when you think about the stuff that scares you, the thing, man, if God could use my life in that way, the stuff that you're like, I'm scared to even say that out loud. I would love to make an impact like that. If God could use me in that kind of way, that stuff is down in our hearts because we're made in God's image. And he is the one who's called us to purpose. And when we don't have it, something feels off, right? Something feels off. We want purposeful work to be a part of it. And here's part of what I'd love for us to do is to conclude that this is always gonna be the case. This is always going to be the case. If I can get rid of the kind of the American mindset that I'm going to retire and I'm not going to do purposeful work anymore, if I can get rid of that mindset, you might retire, but then there's going to be something else that has purpose beyond that. Whenever I have a friend that says, "Hey, man, I'm about to enter retirement," my first question for them is, "What is your purpose going to be? What's going to purpose your purpose going to be?" If you don't have purpose, you are on a fast track to dying. Okay, why? Because it's part of who we are. It's part of who we are. Paul would say, here's the key, that the work is there, the need is real, there's ways to contribute. What does it look like? Often the problem isn't necessarily getting to the work, it's thinking about the work the right way. I've loved this verse since I found it as a new believer in college. And the Apostle Paul would say this, whatever you do, right, kind of whatever your work is, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it's the Lord Christ that you're serving. So he's gonna say, here's whatever you do, put your heart in it. Not to earn salvation, you already have it, right? If you're a follower of Jesus, you just paid for your sin, you said yes to that, you're following him. And now what you're doing is you're saying, I want worship to be the thing that's driving this. And sometimes it's gonna show up like a job. Sometimes it's gonna show up as serving, right? Sometimes there's a calling that you have that's gonna be a little bit different. And you might have that be a rock that there's another way that you are contributing right now. Some of you are in college right now. And you're like, my work is to study stuff, right? And you just moved in, or you're moving in, or you're buying your books, or you're doing your things. Some of you are college athletes. That is your work right now, right? And you would look and say, this right now is how God is using my life to bring glory to him. It's how I'm saying thank you to him. And what the Bible is going to say is the real goal, the end goal of that work is not necessarily just a paycheck or somebody clapping for me or thinking I'm awesome. It's actually a reward from Jesus himself, an inheritance that one day we're going to experience. So you say, Ryan, are you saying that these big rocks are always going to be in my life? I think so. I think so. I mean, from what I see, there's always going to be the intentional pursuit of Jesus. There's always going to be purposeful work. There's always going to be people immediately in my circle that I need to grab hold of. And you say, how do I know that I have some of these rocks? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? Do I have people in my world? And some of you might look at this one and say, I don't even know who these neighbors are. Maybe you just moved here. Maybe you're brand new. You don't have a lot of relationships. And for you, I would look at you and say, just know this is something you got to start to build. This is something you got to start. If you don't have any family around you, or you don't have people here close in your proximity to look and say, I'm going to start to build some neighbors, some relationships. I'm going to initiate and move towards that can be a way to do that. Now, here's what I think is confusing about life in general is the temptation is to make often the medium-sized rocks the big rocks, right? Where am I going to live? What about my hobbies? I love doing my hobby, whatever your thing is, right? I got to figure out, what about my money? I mean, money matters a lot. What about my body and taking care of my body and making sure that it works? All these things matter. What about kids' activities and the 700 sports leagues I'm going to be in this fall because I have children, right? Whatever the thing is, that these things tend to become the big thing, and they might matter, and there might be a way that God is calling you to use these things as a way to love your neighbors. Can I take care of my body because I need this thing in order to love people and do meaningful work? Can I think of, on purpose, about where I live and what decision I make here as I play this out and make these decisions and see how these all start to connect together and they all tie down to some of these big life-altering rocks that if you pull one out, none of it really starts to make any sense, right? So those rocks are gonna be in there, whether you're 16 or you're 86, there is stuff here for us to grab hold of, and it's gonna inform really all the rest. That alone, that conversation alone, that clarity alone, for many of us, is gonna be incredibly helpful to know that this medium rock isn't really a big rock, it's a medium one, and it's somehow tied to these bigger priorities that really drive everything else. Now, you say, Ryan, how do we do this? Just to carry the stuff that's in our lives feels like a lot, right? Like I would ask anybody, if I asked you if you're busy, most of you would raise your hand. If I asked you if you're stressed, most of you would raise your hand, right? Most of you would say, I feel like I got a lot of rocks I'm carrying, man. Like this thing, it's not like there's a shortage. There's a lot here, and life feels heavy sometimes. In the human experience, I just think that's kind of generally the reality that most of us walk in, right? So the question is, how do we carry this? How do we carry this? How do I do this in a way that brings honor and glory to God? How can I do it in a way that's sustainable? And I think what we want to do is this. This is a passage that we looked at a little bit last week. We said here in Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul said, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. He says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's going to say, hey, don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. What I want you to do is understand what the Lord's will is, and we hear that. And if you grew up in the church, you might think, like, what is God's will? It's some mysterious thing where God tells me where to buy a house or do a thing. And the reality is most of God's will is just straight up laid out in the Bible. What God wants is what God's will is. What does God want? He's told us the vast majority of it right here, right? He's told us a lot. And what he's gonna say is this, don't be foolish. Know what God wants, understand that. And then he's gonna say, don't put yourself under the control of wine, in this passage he says. And he's gonna use this example of a substance. He's gonna say, hey, don't get drunk on wine, which leads you down a bad road to debauchery. Here's what I want you to think. I don't wanna put myself under the control of any substance that's gonna alter my thinking or alter my life. I don't wanna put myself under the control of even a societal influence that might lead me to live differently than God would want me to. He's gonna use wine as an example. We could use a variety of different things that would say, I don't wanna put myself under the control of anything outside of God's Spirit. That is the idea, is that God's Spirit is going to produce some stuff in me that he always produces. Here's how you know if you're walking under the control of the Spirit of God. Do you have peace? When you think about the carrying of these rocks, are you able to just take a deep breath and say, Lord, thank you, I'm right where I need to be. That I just want you to know that's a fight for me to get there. I can't always walk in that, but that's what I'm looking for. Lord, is there peace as I carry this rock? I want to look and ask, is there joy? Is there joy in the way that I'm living? Is there the ability to have resilience or long suffering through difficulty? Is there gentleness with people? Patience? Am I able to control myself? This is what the Holy Spirit, God Himself, living within a follower of Jesus, always creates. Always. It's not like, well, that's sometimes thing. That is what God's Spirit does. He's the best at it. So when a person says, Lord, I want you to lead me. I want you to lead me. As I do this, I want you to take control of my life. I want you to do this more and more. What's going to happen is I put myself under the leadership of Christ and His Spirit. As I carry life, what's going to happen is the stuff that the Spirit of God creates is going to show up in how I carry all of it. Does that mean that things never get heavy? Things are absolutely going to feel heavy sometimes. We're absolutely going to get tired. By the way, Jesus got tired. Paul got tired. It happens. And in that, there's still the ability to endure, and there's the ability to find joy even in the middle of enormous difficulty or discouragement. We're able to find our way to it. In fact, I would think of it like this. The Spirit will cause gratitude to mark our lives. We want to see our lives more as a get-to than a have-to, okay? The Spirit will cause gratitude to mark our lives. We want to see our lives more as a get-to than a have-to, right? When I see my life as more of a get-to. Jesus, you're the one. You're the one. If it weren't for your mercy, Jesus, that you pursued me, then now I get the opportunity to pursue you back. If it weren't for your grace and your kindness in my life, I would be separated from God and on my way to hell. Because of your kindness now, I get the opportunity. I don't have to. I get to open your word and seek you and find you. Be a part of a church family where churches are multiplying and new communities are being reached and pastors are being raised up and lives are being changed. Listen, I get to be a part of that. I don't have to. I get to. I get to have a place to provide for a family or serve in a meaningful way or live with a roof under my, right, where I can live under, and I can have financial resources to figure out a little bit how to pay some bills and maybe even do some other things on the phone. I can have a body that's functional. I can serve people with it. We might even have the ability to have some free space or some hobbies to serve God with or through, or to find some ways to find a little bit of encouragement and blow off some steam and worship God through that. All of that is a get to. It's a get to. We've used this language over the years here at Grace. I'll probably use it again in 2 years because I need the reminder, you do too. When life feels like a have to, I got to get through it's Monday tomorrow and blah, 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 blah. I got to go to church, do the thing. Life is, if you want to drain your tank really, really fast, treat life like a have to. If you want a shortcut to misery, treat your life like a have to. If you want to find joy, recognize that what we get to do, life is imperfect and it's painful and there's all kinds of things. We live in a fallen, broken world, and we get to. We get the good gifts that God has given us. We get to eat some good food. Do you like Five Guys? I do. It's kind of expensive now, but I like it, right? You get to have meaningful relationships with people. The people that you love the most in your life, they're gifts from God. Those are gifts from God. Even to love our enemies, as Jesus would say, is an opportunity to show the grace of God to another that Jesus has shown to me. Now, all of that is challenging in practice, but it's the path that causes us to be able to carry what God has put in our lives. Right? It's the reality of it. The Spirit's always going to create gratitude. He's going to help me see it as a get-to, not as a have-to. right? And I think this is the thing I just want to make sure we see, that real faith, it just shows up in everyday ways. It shows up in everyday ways. What I want us to see from this series is that this decision right here can come from the intentionality that comes all the way down here. The way I approach even the little stuff in life. Lord, thank you for clean water that I get to take that bath that we talked about last week, that shower. You ever not have clean water? It's pretty rough. You ever go to a third world country and you gotta, it's ugly. Man, all of a sudden that simple shower, which feels like a no-brainer, all of a sudden feels very different. Thank you, God, it's a get-to. It's a get-to. This meal's a get-to, right? Can I start to see it with gratitude, see it differently, that there's an everyday practical way that these rocks in my life are, they're things that I get to hold as an act of worship for Jesus if I get this first one in and get these next few aligned with them, it starts to show up all the way across the board. It shows up all the way across the board. It starts to inform where the rocks go and how I carry them all along the way. Now, you might ask the question, Ryan, what do you do with this, man? This is like, if you're seeing this for the first time, this can be kind of life-altering in some ways. Where do I start? Here's where I would just have you start, okay? Just a real basic question. Now, I want to ask this question. Am I missing one of the big rocks? Am I missing one of the big rocks? I think that's probably one of the best places for us to start. And I realize that some of you are here today, and there's a very real possibility that you're here and you don't yet have a relationship with Jesus. You're here because a friend took you or somebody was excited about what was happening, and you're like, I gotta go to my church, and now you're not even sure why you're here. And now all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, is this a God thing happening in my life? And I want you to understand that it is. That right now, what's on the table for you, there's an offer for you to say yes to. It's up to you if you want to say yes or no. The God of the universe loves you. You're separated from him just like I have been, and it's because of the wrong that we've done. What he did on purpose, long before we were born, is he sent his son Jesus. Jesus came here, lived a perfect life, died an innocent death, rose from the dead, and now offers to forgive your sin. He offers to give you new life. And what he's going to give you is a purpose that starts now and will last into eternity. And you can say yes to that. You can have the forgiveness of your sin, and you can take Jesus up on his invitation to follow him. Because frankly, Jesus' way of living is going to lead you and I to a much better place than we would ever find on our own. I've told you guys many times, I didn't grow up in the church, and this was one of the leading things that caused me to be open to Jesus, is I did not understand what was going on down here. And I was like, I don't know why I should get out of bed in the morning. Really, is it just about this stuff? Is this all there is? There's gotta be more, right? There is more. And if you're looking for purpose and you're looking for forgiveness and you're looking to get rid of your shame and you're looking for to connect with the God who made you, I just want you to know that invitation's on the table today. You can say yes to Christ and your life will change. It'll begin now and it'll continue until you see him face to face. Say yes to Jesus, put that, and then pursue him as he has pursued you. Here's the next one, of course, is our first neighbors. These people that live close, right in our lives, are the easiest people to take for granted. They just are. Your family, our friends, sometimes our literal neighbors, our dorm mates, our roommates. They're people that are right in our space. Sometimes those people get neglected. Sometimes there's forgiveness that needs granted or worked through. Sometimes these people get treated like a medium size or a small rock, and something else gets put in their place. Is this missing for you? As I mentioned earlier, some of us might be here and you're like, Ryan, I'm kind of alone, man. I'm alone. I don't have any people. And if that's where you are, here's what I would tell you. You can't microwave deep relationships, what you can do is you can start. You can initiate. And I'll just tell you, you're here at a perfect time. That's where you are. Our communities are going to be firing up. We've got people that want to be one of your people eventually. They want to know you and they want to walk with you. But I would tell you this, you have to do things that scare you. You have to walk across the room. You introduce yourself. You have to show up at the community. You have to do the thing. Well, nobody ever reaches out to me and they never initiate with me. Stop. You take the initiative. If there's a big vacuum in your life, you have to do something about it. You have to move on it and begin to do something uncomfortable to find some people in your life. And here's the thing. There's a bunch of really nice people here. They're imperfect, just like me. We're all in the same boat, but they would love to know you and get to know you and begin to form a friendship with you through Jesus and here at the church. Finally, there's this one. Purposeful work. Here's the thing about this one. I want to ask the question, is this missing in my life? And you might hear that and say, Ryan, I've got tons of work. What are you talking about? The question I want to ask around this is, am I bringing the perspective to my work that I'm doing this with and for Jesus? Or is it just drudgery? It's a have-to. You might be here, and sometimes I get asked this, Ryan, is there anything I can do? I'm retired, I'm older. Is there anything I can do with myself? Is there any purpose for me? Man, I would look at you and say, do you have any idea how many young families are here that would love to benefit from your 40-year marriage? They would love to be heard and be listened to and have somebody to see them and understand them and walk with them and plug some of the holes that they had in their upbringing. Do you understand how much value there is in that? Do you know how many college students that just need you to feed them, right? It's real. They're starving, people, okay? Just give them some food. Do you know the kind of value that's available? Here, let me say this. If you're here and you're kind of bored in life, if the most exciting thing that's happening in your life happens on a screen, I need you to hear this, okay? I need you to hear this. We need you to engage. Do you understand? There's work to be done that has real purpose and real impact. If the most exciting thing, the drama of your life, the excitement and the mission and the vision, what you live for is kickoff or Dancing with the Stars, I can't wait. Those are fine things to watch. It's fine. If that's the highlight of why you get out of bed in the morning, we need to talk. We need to talk. Why? There's people going to hell right here. There are children down in that nursery that need a visionary adult to look at them and say, I will show up for you. And I will point you to Jesus and love you week in and week out here at Grace Church. There's ways that you can be used by God that are unlimited. Guys, there's so many needs that you don't even know about. Why are you bored? A hobby, an entertainment, living vicariously through a football team. They're fine medium rocks. They cannot be the big rock. I need you to hear, we need you to engage. Find your purposeful work. Some of you might look and say, you might have to get a job. Some of you might say, man, I'm going to get after serving in a real way. I'm going to find my way to a mission. I don't know what your equation looks like to support that, but there's just not, we don't have the ability to have people on the bench. Let me specifically talk to young men. If you're here and you're a young man, I need you to understand that we need your engagement. We cannot afford to have you blow your 20s. Do you hear me? We can't afford to have you blow your 20s, playing video games, chilling, just enjoying life, doing generally nothing. We need you to build a community, build the churches, start a family, get after it. Why? Because you are strong and we need your strength here in this church. We need your strength in this community. This world needs you to show up. Young women, we need you to engage that call as well. The idea that the dream is that I could survive some work and do as little as possible and retire and rot on a beach is not God's vision for living abundantly here on the earth. You are called to purpose. You're called to purpose. And I refuse, while I'm here in this post and there, during this time, to allow us to not engage it. What is it that God is doing in your life? Ryan, I don't know. I need some clarity. Just start doing something. Start acting. Move on it. Move on it. And we'll help you find your way to whatever it is. But we can't have a bench where there's people just kind of chilling, waiting for something to watch, to engage the call and mission of their life through some entertainment. Find things to be entertained by, not find things to live for. What am I missing? What am I missing? Is it Jesus? Is it people? Is it purpose? Here's the final question. Do I need to carry them differently? Some of you, you're here in this room and you're like, Ryan, I got a lot of rocks, man. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. You're like, I got the big rocks. I got them all. And sometimes I feel like I can't carry it anymore. Here's what I just want to warn. I just want to tell you this, okay? If you carry the big rocks the way we're talking, you're going to hit moments where you feel like your grip is going to give out. And I want you to know I feel like that sometimes. There's times when I don't know if I can keep carrying the rock. And every time, what that does is that makes me call out to Jesus for help. That makes me engage my weakness. It makes me say, Lord, I need you to give me the strength to keep going on this one because I'm ready to throw in the towel. Do I need to carry the rocks differently? Do I need to engage God's Spirit more and more? Do I need Christ to help me carry what I could never carry on my own? Did you know that the Spirit of God that is within you, if you follow Jesus, is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? Did you know that? The same Spirit that took Jesus' lifeless body and caused it to burst with life again is the same Spirit that engages my feeble hands with strength to keep going. That's what's available to you and that's what's available to me. This is what we do. We anchor the big rocks in and we say, Lord, you've given me some things to carry that I don't always feel like I can. Would you help me? Would you, Lord, lead me? Would you help me to see this as a privilege I get to, not just something I have to endure? As the band comes out, guys, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Would you begin to let these questions stir in your heart? Clarify your mind, cause you to move towards Jesus' design for our lives. Would you pray with me? Father, today we want to say thank you. First, Lord, for your grace and your kindness on us, that you don't interact with us according to our sin, but you pour out your mercy and your grace on our lives. And Lord, you give us not only forgiveness, but you adopt us into your family and you include us in the mission, in the great work of seeing people find hope in you. Thank you, Lord, that we get to know you and love your people and point people to you through the ways that we engage our lives. I pray, God, that you would ruin us for a normal life, that you would cause us to be people that are marked deeply by a passion for your kingdom, for your righteousness that shows up in every part of our lives, imperfectly, in a messy way. But God, would you cause us to move towards that? And would you give us strength that surpasses understanding, a peace that doesn't make any sense? And would you meet us here, Lord, right here, right now?